I'm just curious, what was it like for you at first when you came over to Japan, a foreigner, setting up shop to do a little work in the traditional Japanese field?
I had a great time. I'm still having a great time. There's never been any problem about joining in. I'm a little bit of a lone wolf. There is a craftsman's association, carvers and printers, mostly old men who are doing this job, and they welcomed me into their association. But I do work on my own. I'm not a real buddy-buddy friend of all theirs.
When you were here, were you able to learn more techniques in the woodblock printing area?
Yes, of course. I've improved steadily, and I'm still improving. I don't want to pretend that I'm a master craftsman here. I'm very much learning this trade as I go. Those men who are doing it, they're more than willing to show me and help me and give me advice all the time.
Let's talk a little bit about the product, woodblock printing. Mm-hmm. Wood and paper. How important is the wood and the paper?
Well, without wood we couldn't do it. Without paper we couldn't do it. The wood is cherry wood. We've used that for hundreds of years. And the paper is what they call Hosho paper. That's been used for hundreds of years. It's a wonderfully perfect match. And if we changed either one of those, we couldn't make good woodblock prints.
What are the characteristics of these two that make them just perfect for this?
Well, it's without getting too technical here, it's simply they're matched. When woodblock printmaking first started 300 more odd years ago, people then must have, of course, searched around to find the best materials they could, and year by year by year, it's developed using those materials. So we can't suddenly change that and expect to get results using something else.
Where do you usually work?
I work at home in my tatami room. It's interesting, I sit on Japanese tatami, I sit on a Japanese zabuton, I sit at a low, we call horidai, a little carving bench. I'm carving Japanese calligraphy with a Japanese carving knife, sharpened on a Japanese carving stone. Only my eye color is something wrong. So.
It seems like the atmosphere is a key part of doing
absolutely,
the work.
Absolutely, absolutely. I realized this when I was back in Canada trying this. I knew I was trying to make something Japanese, but the air was wrong, the Canadian air. I'm half joking, it just didn't work. You've got to be here, surrounded by the tradition, surrounded by the language. You've got to be living in Japan to do the kind of printmaking that I do.
Did you go through a period of trial and error with some of your work?
I'm still doing this now. I'm learning as I go. My prints are getting better month by month, year by year, but compared to the old masters, the craftsmen of 200 years ago, well, my prints have a long way to go still, so I'm learning month by month.
You mentioned the old craftsman. I saw one name in your newsletter. Maybe you could elaborate. Egawa Tomeichi.
Ah, he's been dead for 200 years. He's my teacher. I know what I mean, of course, that I've got a book he carved. I've got an original copy. It sits by my workbench, and every now and then I open it up and I look at it, and I see his beautifully carved lines. I see the delicacy of the work he did, and I look at that and I try and reproduce that in my own work. And even though he's been gone for many, many years, I really have to say he is my teacher. I'm striving, and if I work at this many, many years myself, maybe one day when I'm 99 years old, perhaps I'll be as good as he was.
There's another book which involves your current project, and that is the book by Katsukawa Shunsho.
Yes, I'm reproducing that book. It was done just about 200 years ago. It's a book of the Hyakunin Ishu, the famous poetry series. Each page has the poem in calligraphy and a picture of the poet. And I'm making this book. It's 100 pages, and it's taking me 10 years to do it. I started in 1989, and I'll be finished in 1998. I make one picture every month, about 10 a year.
What is it about this book that attracted you to take on this project?
It's gorgeous. Every page is a beautiful, beautiful picture of a poet standing there. Most ukiyo-e listeners to this program, of course, have seen many things. Hokusai's pictures, Hiroshige's pictures, Utamaro's pictures. I think they're not so interesting. When we see the beautiful Bijinga, for example, from Utamaro, there's no personality there. We can't see if this is a real person. But in Katsukawa Shunsho's pictures in this book, we turn the pages one by one by one, and they're real people we're looking at. There's a happy person, there's a sad person, there's a young man, there's an old person. It's very, very, very unusual in Japanese ukiyo-e to see personality in the pictures. And when I first saw this book, I saw page by page, look at this, it's gorgeous personality. I was very attracted to it, and I wanted to make it.
This book goes back quite a ways, doesn't it? I mean, the poems go back quite a ways.
Oh, many, many years. Of course, the earliest poems in this series are about 1,300 years ago. Much longer than anything we've got in Western culture. And compared to my Canadian culture, of course, it's incredibly old.
And yet these poems are still somewhat alive in the current society.
They're very much alive. Of course, listeners to this program may know many of these poems. They're an active part of Japanese culture right now, today.
And you feel when you complete this project that you can be called a true shokunin?
I hope so. This 10-year project is kind of my apprentice years. You know, I started 8 or 9 years ago, and I really wasn't very good. And I've got better month by month, year by year. And it's difficult to talk about your own level, but I feel now the work I'm making now I'm quite happy with. And maybe in another year and a half when my project is finished, I'll think of myself as really a Japanese shokunin, a woodblock printmaking craftsman.
All right.